stay in that learning mode and look for different tools and resources that resonate with you that you can bring back to your clients. And don't be afraid to like dive into these emotional areas. Just ask the question and just be there, recognizing maybe you might feel a little uncomfortable, but just sit with your own emotions, because I think that'll let the clients like really come to like be their true self in the meeting with you.
Welcome, my friend, to the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson. And as a veteran of the financial services industry, I was curious to find out why, despite all the good that financial professionals do, that the term financial advisor would normally clear the room at a dinner party. Why was this? And what was this gap between consumers and providers of financial services? In this podcast, I seek to close this gap by having forward-moving conversations to advance the profession of giving financial advice and providing tools to the next generation of financial professionals to serve their clients at the highest level. As providers, we have the awesome privilege of partnering with our future clients to help change family trees, normalize the creation of wealth, and help the industry as a whole do less harm and more good. In today's conversation, we speak with Kathy Longo, who is the owner and founder of Flourish Wealth Management. We talk about tools to uncover your client's money story. And Kathy provided us in this conversation some very concrete, tangible tools to help measure not only the quantitative aspects, but the qualitative aspects of working with clients. Also, for the career changer and existing financial professional, we spent the bulk of our conversation talking about bringing forth transformation. Whether your client's label is transformation or not, that's why they really hire us. And Kathy was really able to give us some nuggets of wisdom when it comes to delivering that transformation for your clients, especially as existing financial professionals, and even tools for aspiring financial professionals to keep in mind. We also talked about the Flourish Financially Challenge, which she uses to really deepen the relationships with her clients. So much information in this episode that I hope you're gonna find a lot of value in. So without further ado, it's time to sit back and enjoy the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of advice. And today we have a special guest, Kathy Longo. Kathy, you are a certified financial planner, practitioner, chartered advisor in philanthropy, and a certified divorce financial analyst, and the author of Flourish Financially, Values, Transitions, and Big Conversations. You are also the president and founder of Flourish Wealth Management. You were named as an Investopedia Top 100 Financial Advisor in 2021 and are the host of the Flourish Financially podcast. You also serve on the board of directors for the YWCA of Minneapolis to eliminate racism and empower women and girls, and Money Weave Academy to provide financial planning education for women that inspires sound decision-making, purposeful action, and philanthropy. I love that. Welcome to the podcast, Kathy.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of those. So I'll just be really candid and honest, which you probably will have done this, or maybe we'll do this. But, you know, I was like, man, I want to have some really exciting podcast guests. And, you know, you start going through the process, and then I get this invitation to be on this Investopedia list, and you were also on there. I was like, look, I'm just going to reach out to the top. You know, I think I took 25 or 50 people. And you were one of the ones that so graciously agreed to come on here and chop it up with me. So I appreciate you and the deposit that you're about to leave into Jumpstart.
Oh, well, thanks. And congratulations to you on being in that top 100.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's one of those things where you're just like, you know, going through the motions of doing your work and doing, you know, stuff for people and serving people. And then you get honored. So it feels good, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Let's jump into this topic. I think based on your resume and your kind of what I know about you and what you've contributed to this industry, I thought you would be a great person to unpack tools to uncover your client's money story. As we were kind of talking in the digital green room, as I like to call it, before we got started, it was like, you know, all these different things that we do when we're serving people and coming across all the different intersections they have in life. And, you know, their money story inevitably pops up, and how you handle that? How do you cope with that? How do you, you know, get away from the Monte Carlo analysis and actually move the needle on this is like something I think we need to talk about as participants in the industry. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think it's so important to do the technical work is there and it has to be done. But the work on the personal side of money is really what pulls the technical all together. And it is like unpacking somebody's personal money story, like their influences, the money messages they received growing up. How did their father influence them? How did their mother influence them? That first experience earning money, fears about money. Money's really can be very emotional too, uncovering what emotions come up for them. So I think those are all really important things that then help us really pull the whole financial picture together.
Yeah, you said all that, and I'm like, man, you know, there's so many rabbit trails to go down here. But I want to start this here with, you know, when you start to think about what I feel is a fairly low barrier of entry mm-hmm. into this great profession, you know, somebody that, God bless them, you know, they spend their money, they, you know, go to Kaplan or whatever, and they study for their Series 65, and they're like, ooh, I passed, and they get to open up their RIA based on current regulations. And contrast that with everything you just said, I'm like, there's no way they can be equipped unless they're like, you know, they were a coach in a former life or something like that. What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, well, and I think that that's the piece that when people think about the profession, they'll start to, if they can look at the point that it's way more than just the numbers and the technical, it's really about the psychology, the coaching process. How do you work with the client to uncover their own like money history, their goals moving forward? And there are a lot of tools. We can start to go into some of the tools that I've discovered and the organizations that I've worked with to like enhance my knowledge in this area. But like, I think even when, so I majored in financial planning way back when, there were only about a dozen schools that had this major, and that I was an economics major and ended up running into a student who wasn't in my class. I'm like, where are you? And she said, I'm in financial planning now. I had no idea what that was. So took a personal finance class, and I loved the numbers and being able to help people on their finances. But little did I realize that there is so much more, like you said. And so I think that advisors, pursuing opportunities like coaching programs. So I did a coaching program that was a year-long program. It wasn't for the financial planning profession. It was really how do you coach people, like a coach that might work with them on any aspect of life that they might want to work on. And so I think there's resources to look even in our profession and like outside of our profession that can help us build those skills to work with our clients.
No, I love you said that. I think, so when we think about those tools, right? And let's get kind of specific. And I know everybody won't do this, whether they're going to be a coach or a financial advisor, financial therapist, financial counselor. But you specifically work with divorced women or women that have experienced divorce. And I wonder, what are some of the things that you use maybe to unpack that? Because that's a super sensitive situation. Not only are they having the trauma from the relationship, they may also have trauma from money stories, like you just said, right? So what are some ways that you handle that?
Yeah. And I think I add on there that a lot of individuals, there was a study that I saw earlier this year by UBS. It was called Own Your Worth. And it was 49% of women let their spouse lead the financial decisions. And I thought, well, that has to be like an older generation. And when you looked in the study, it was across industries, education, and income levels. So this isn't like just an older phenomenon that we're dealing with. So you've got that piece that they've been deferring the decisions, and then you throw in all of the emotional piece, and it's a time of transition. So there's two organizations that I work with and pull upon their tools. One is Money Quotient, and the other one is Transitionist Institute. And so helping people like work through transitions. So I take a lot of the tools that they've provided. Like, so let's take the example of somebody coming in for a divorce, and this is divorce, but any transition. there's a tool that we use that is really just illustrating the four stages of transition. So it usually starts with anticipation. You know, sometimes you're anticipating this marriage is going to end in divorce. Sometimes it might come out of the blue, and then it goes right into that second stage, which is ending, the end of the marriage. Then you go into passage, which can take years to kind of like figure out what's going on until you get to what is called that new normal, like life post-divorce and into your new life. And if you, this, we actually have a visual that we show clients and we talk about these stages. And for them, you see this like sense of relief. And we talk about the emotions, because for some, there might be like they're doing really well, they're feeling hopeful, they've got clarity on the future. And then others might have this like, oh, like their identity is gone, their identity as a married person. They can't make decisions. They don't even know, they can't even understand. They're so confused and they're overwhelmed. Well, that's just a natural reaction and emotion that can come up when you're working through a transition. So like putting that into conversation, I see this sense of relief on the other side of the table, or now it's on Zoom for the time being. Just like, oh, that makes sense. Why, you know, I used to be a good decision maker and I'm so confused right now. So that's like one of the first tools. I can talk about some other tools, but I'll give you a chance to see if you have any thoughts on that.
No. I think that's interesting. I there's a lot of similarities, or there's a lot of things that I thought about when you said that. The first is a conversation I had with someone that I coach when we're thinking about this career transition. I talked to a lot of career changers, a lot of aspiring financial professionals trying to get into this industry, this profession. And one thing she noted, which I hadn't really considered before, was the loss, the stripping of her identity as where she was in industry, you know, the social reputational capital she had built up. And now she's basically starting over as a career changer. And that thought, I had that thought when you just said that. And I thought just how vulnerable someone may feel when it goes there, and what we call in the bedside manner that you would need to have as a financial professional, tactically, you know, tactfully navigating them through this. And maybe we can kind of unpack that a little bit more, because I think, you know, our profession does a really, really good job on helping you with the technical. Mm-hmm. Bang up job, especially the CFP curriculum. I can vouch for that. But when it comes to what I would like to call the softer side of this, where you're maybe asking more probing questions and going a layer or two deeper than just that surface questions, do these tools help, or do you employ more things like, you know, maybe your experience as a woman, or like how do you help navigate that?
Well, I think that a couple things in there, and like definitely I think that as advisors, we need to understand like what it might feel like to be on the other side, revealing all of these emotions. Yesterday, I started to work with a new client, and we were working on their like personal insights about money. And actually, even before we got in there, but that was their homework, so they had already done this work. They said, "We just have to tell you how vulnerable we feel right now." They have never had like that experience, and so having some empathy and understanding like what are the emotions that they're experiencing, I think can really like help connect us to the client and support them where they're at. And like those are the emotions we have to work through.
I hate to interrupt you because I know you have a juicy thought there, but how do you propose, or what do you recommend for advisors to be able to empathize and put themselves in the client's shoes? Do you, like, you know, there's some people that say that if every advisor should have their own financial advisor, at least go through the exercise of doing a financial plan so that you can, you know, understand what it feels like. What are your recommendations there?
I recall, I was a volunteer for the FPA. They had a residency program, and I was the client for the week or the few days. And we had to embody this client. And so it was a husband and a wife. And even though it was make-believe, and we had to be like the client at three different points in their life, I remember leaving that and feeling like, wow, that is so vulnerable, like to like let them in my life. And it was my pretend life. I was Hazel. And so it wasn't even my like real life. And that was vulnerable. But I think you can like, For sure. I think getting in tune to your own money story, like, so the same exercises that you're asking your clients to do, I believe that every advisor should do. I'm also a big believer in therapy and like uncovering like everything else that, you know, understanding like emotions and, you know, recognizing bodies and like what might be coming up and just doing that own personal work. I think that really can give you an opportunity to have more empathy and then asking questions like, how was that exercise for you to do? You know, being comfortable with like long silences, you know, letting them, when you see the emotions come up, just notice that and say, is there anything coming up for you? So don't be afraid to nicely go in and, you know, just give them an opportunity to open up.
No, I think, and you beautifully transitioned that because I interrupted you and I think you were about to tell us what you think advisors should be doing. So I appreciate you doing that. I was going to try to remember what question I had for you. And I was like, I don't remember what that was, but you went back to it. So I think that's great. What's the first step in becoming a successful financial professional? Well, doing your homework. And there's no better place to understand the financial services industry than Jumpstart University. With video after video of hours and hours of content on topics like the different careers available in financial services, advice for making the switch as a career changer, what to consider when becoming an independent financial professional, how to attract and retain new clients, what's involved in becoming a certified financial planner, and day in the life of a financial advisor with so much more. All of this for free. You just got to click through the YouTube ads. So head on over to YouTube now to check out Jumpstart YO University. You can find that at youtube.com/JumpstartYO University. Now, let's get back to the conversation. When we talk about tools, there's a reason why we want to employ tools, right? We're trying to get to a specific end. We're trying to bring forth what I would like to call transformation, right? Everybody I think I work with, whether they articulate it as the word transformation, is what they're looking for, right? Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, I would like to say the surface answer would be like, hey, Dom, I want to retire with $1 million. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you want to retire with $1 million? There's a reason that you want to do that. Do you want to spend more time with your kids? Do you want to buy back more time, you know, to spend with your parents? Like, there's a reason. So when we talk about transformation, I want to go into like this actual delivery of it, right? So you take your clients through these tools or these exercises to uncover these things. And is it, what is the formula? I know it's probably customized, you know, so we don't have to get super specific, but what is the formula to actually deliver the transformation that they're signing up for, Kathy?
Yeah. Well, I think for an advisor to have a whole bunch of different tools, because it's not going to be a one size solution for everyone. So like in the case of like that, the person coming to me going through the divorce, they might be in so much overwhelm. We might have to use like what it's an exercise from the Transitionist Institute. And it makes sense. It's just called Now, Soon, Later, but let them do a whole brain dump of everything that's on their mind, from can I keep the house? And what's the plan for the kids? Like, what are our utility bills? Like, you know, whatever it is, like, who's getting the dog? Just let them like pour out everything in their mind and then help them like prioritize what's now, what can be done soon, and like what's later. And that gives a sense of control. So then you can start to work on other pieces that you need to understand, like, oh, communication preferences, a whole nother exercise we do with people, understanding, like, how do they like to receive information? How do they process? You know, give me time and I'll get back to you the next day, or give them choices. And so understanding like how they best make decisions. Are they visual? Are they love the numbers, and the more numbers, the better. But then when you can start to like get them in a spot to think more about future transition, like we do like an exercise for divorced people in particular is like visualize your future post-divorce. And that can feel, because, you know, it can take a while to work through the divorce and all the financial decisions. It might give them a little sense of hope that there's life afterwards. And it's just a kind of questionnaire that we work through together and visualizing that. And I think with anyone in transition, there's a way to, like, we might say like, what are your goals? And it's like, oh, to make $1 million or whatever it is. But can we put it into a broader context of like life? Like, let's think about life in terms of like family, community, health, purpose. Like we have this 10-point, what we call our wheel of life, which is a tool from Money Quotient. And like they plot out their satisfaction in those, in these various areas. And then we can use that to see like, where do they want to move the needle in some of those areas? And as we set goals based on that, that's where we can start to see the transition happen.
No, I love that. I love there's a lot of things that you're incorporating in here and you're talking about. And I hope while people are listening, they're going, that's not even really financial planning or financial related. But this is what I often tell people. Personal finance is often so much more personal than finance. I mean, you know, there's so many tools that you can use. And this is one of the reasons why I think career changers really, really, really are a key to how we deliver better services as a profession. Because you come in with fresh eyes. Typically, you're not jaded by, you know, having a finance degree or an advanced finance degree like I do, and you feel like you know everything. There's not a lot of bad behaviors you have to unlearn, and you get to come in with your ability to de-escalate conflict, negotiate, all those things, all those soft skills that I think and that you've been, you know, kind of enumerating here in your process that are really, really crucial to developing the skills that are needed to deliver transformation to clients. So what are your thoughts about career changers and their impact on this industry?
Well, I think life experience in general and like career changers bringing some different perspective, because I think learning comes from so many different disciplines. And like a key aspect that clients come to us for is some type of a transition. Maybe it's their own career change. Maybe it's the divorce. It's the retirement. But like if you think through, I guess the advisor, their career change, you're like how you've worked through transitions and what was helpful for you. And then think about how you might employ some of those skills in helping others through their transitions. Because I think a lot of our work comes to us like during transitions and being part of our clients' lives during transitions.
No, I totally agree. So like when you zoom out, like from a macro standpoint, you've been in this industry long enough that you have, I think, a perspective that is complete. Let's put it that way. In regards to what the industry is doing well and what it's not doing so well. So in context of this conversation with just, you know, tools to help people, whether they're, you know, divorcees or not, what do you think the industry's getting right? And then we can flip it to say, what do you think that they're doing or could do better? Let's put it that way.
I think there's more conversations about this topic, which is key for like if we're going to transform and make sure this is part of the discipline or with the CFP adding some more areas in behavioral finance. Like, so we're talking about it and there are organizations that are out there, like that I mentioned earlier, like Money Quotient and the Financial Transitionist Institute, they're bringing in the skill set for advisors to learn how to work in this area. So I think that that piece is all going well. I would say that as advisors, we have to realize this work takes time. And so we have to move past, and not everyone, there's a lot of really wonderful, wonderful advisors out there. So I think there's opportunities. And even for like, I'm still learning and like trying to enhance my skill set. So I think we have to have like that learning mindset, but I think that we have to slow down. It's not a rush the process to get an investment account underway. Like we will create like long-term sticky client relationships by spending the time to do this personal work with them and help them to work through transitions. And it's really valuable. Like it's the personal reward that you can get by doing this is really valuable. So I think that should be an expectation. And I think too with clients, like I hear more of them saying as they get introduced or that they're looking for more than just numbers. They want to connect with their spouse. They want to have conversations, get better at conversations around money. So they're asking for more. So I think that the clients are going to ask us to step up even more too. And they want more than just asset management. And that's good. We'll get there.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that. I brought up this on a group coaching call that I have for my community of aspiring financial professionals last night that the financial services industry, from my purview, and this is my 20th year in the industry, has done a pretty mediocre to poor job of being on the cutting edge of what clients want. So like if you look at like an Amazon, which started out as a bookstore, which now you can order. I mean, we just got through remodeling our house and we ordered everything on Amazon. I mean, it was just like, and they had easily, they had this process by which if we ordered the wrong thing, it was super easy. If they didn't credit it back to my account, like the next day, it was like the day after that. And all I had to do is go running up to Kohl's or UPS with a shipping label, not even packaged. So I'm just thinking about that process and how easy it is for me because of the way my life is now in 2021. And then I look at the financial services industry and I go, man, we're pretty far behind what the customer wants. And so all that to say, I think I agree with you that there are a lot of changes that we need to consider when it comes to serving clients where they're at versus where we want them to be. I wonder if you have any more thoughts on that particular topic.
Yeah, well, I hope that one of the things I think about as we are now really being more available to clients, they think about like, I'll find an advisor, you know, anywhere, that there are advisors out here that are taking a process similar to this, and that will open up more demand and that will start to shift like how people show up and like the work that they do for themselves in the profession. But I hear you in that, like this, I don't think this connection to people, and we've been working through transitions. People have had transitions forever. People have always had a money story. So this is nothing new. But why are we only talking about this now is a very good question, because the value in planning and what could be possible has been wanted, I think, forever. People just maybe just didn't know enough about it.
No, I agree. I think the point you made previous to this, which is that clients are wanting more. I think that's the underlying notion here is if we're in the job as, you know, financial service professionals, serve is in that word, then we have to find the ways that clients are finding value or needing value to be delivered. And I wonder if that segues into the Flourish Financially Challenge, right? FFC. Like, what was the thought behind this? Was it to give clients more? What was the impetus behind that?
Yeah, so the goal was like to reach a broader audience and to make money approachable. So like it's been in like little bite-sized tidbits of just different aspects of the financial picture. So like understanding your emotions when it comes to money, like how to have a better conversation with your spouse or partner when it comes to money. So looking at it from a different perspective, like you won't find anything about like investments or investment returns on my podcast, because I think there's just so much more to understanding like what people are looking for and connecting the finances and creating a new conversation about money. And it can be fun. Like, I think that's the shift is when you work on these other aspects, clients come in like excited to have their meeting and they've shifted their relationship with money. I remember a client saying, they left my office and they told me this afterwards. They were having dinner with friends and they're like, and we did like their whole money history at this meeting. It was a great opportunity for them to learn about each other. And their friends are like, that's what you discussed with your financial planner. And it was just great. I loved it.
No, I'm glad that's happening. You know, you say that it brings to mind, there was a McKinsey study done about the burnout that women are experiencing. And at the time that we're recording this podcast versus when it's going to air, it may be a little dated. But the point is when I send out the study to all my women clients, when I usually have, let's say, a less than 50% response rate on most of the stuff I sent out that's related to finance, this one was like overwhelming. I mean, everybody sent me a response back. Some of them were like several paragraphs long that, you know, we went back and forth on email. And I realized that this is a topic that really touches a nerve. Mm-hmm. And as a financial professional, I have the choice of digging in or keeping it really surface. But to your point, Kathy, which I think is a great one, is we need to, as professionals, I think, draw more into allowing our clients to get closer because they want that interaction. They want that relationship. And my honest opinion is I believe it enhances the relationship overall as the advisor, because the whole point of this relationship is built on trust. Mm-hmm. And if they can't trust you, then the likelihood that they're going to stay a client for a really long time or a happy client for a very long time is low. And I think finding ways to build trust, no matter what that is mm-hmm. kind of the key objective here. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. And I think you're right. So what is it about that, the burnout piece that's happening or like what we've experienced, you know, with COVID since 2020 and recognizing like how they might be responding emotionally. I think I've been doing some work more with people on like encore careers, like a shift in their career and what they might be planning for. So when other pieces are happening, burnout or just dealing with like our current world right now, what might that be bringing up for them? And so it's a great opportunity to like dig in and figure out where you might help, you know, create that satisfaction. If you can like help explore what they might want in that next career or show them some financial ways to get there, like, wow, wouldn't that be like impactful for just the joy that they'll have in their life and that you've been a part of too?
Yeah. And when you think about people trading such a large part of their waking years, their waking moments in a career. Mm-hmm. And if they're not happy, I mean, I think about what I do and I love to do it. I mean, I'm not saying that just as a surface, I really love what I do. And there's not a moment that goes by in a day that I'm not grateful for the opportunity that I get to do this. But mm-hmm. imagine the flip side of somebody that does it, you know, they're driving to a job they hate and they got to get in traffic afterwards. You know, like that could be so much stress and anxiety and frustration that is really robbing them of life, right? Robbing right. them of being present in the moment. And if you as a financial advisor, you know, as a trusted advisor in their life can help them transition and pivot, I mean, that's mm-hmm. worth so much more than probably than what they signed up for. And wow, to be able to deliver that. That's crazy. Yeah. So.
And if you think it's like our job as financial advisors to do this, because if so, or even ask the question about how they're feeling, how satisfied are they in their current job? Because if they're not satisfied, you've got some risk to the financial plan that they're not going to make it to whatever that age is or what they need to be. And so I think that's important to like, you know, they'd be much better off even if they take a lower paying job and they're working a lot longer and they're happy and their health is feeling good. So it's, that's where I think it goes back and forth from the personal to the financial piece. And it's, they're never siloed. They're always going back and forth.
No, I love that. They're never siloed. They're always going back and forth. So as we bring this in for landing, really appreciate your perspective here. It's been so unique and refreshing also. As you know, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. And I guess my question to you, Kathy, would be, with that in mind, what word or words of wisdom would you like to leave with the audience?
Well, I think that stay in that learning mode and look for different tools and resources that resonate with you that you can bring back to your clients. And don't be afraid to like dive into these emotional areas. Just ask the question and just be there, recognizing maybe you might feel a little uncomfortable, but just sit with your own emotions, because I think that'll let the clients like really come to like be their true self in the meeting with you.
No, I love that. I love that. It's so hard for us to do that, right? I think the profession lends itself to be the know-it-all instead mm-hmm. of just really embracing that uncomfortable silence if it presents itself.
Right. And making it like creating some uncomfortable silence. That's where there's growth.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Well, Kathy, this has been great. I really appreciate your time and this deposit into the audience. And I wish you nothing but the best in the future.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. You first might want to write down your most important takeaway and then give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. And remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, If you'd like to learn more about how Jumpstart can help you become a next generation financial professional or partner with you in finding next generation talent for your organization, send us an email at hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com, just in case you needed to get a pen to write that down. That's hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. Bye for now, until our next conversation.